It is very functional. Our telephone works. It is clean. It is safe. The water is clean to drink. You go out at night, the chances of you getting mugged or killed or bombed is nearly zero. And so many foreigners with children, they love to live in Singapore. And of course, it is a place where you can find all kinds of wonderful, wonderful food, material things, possessions, luxury goods. Whatever your heart desires, you can find them in this wonderful country, Singapore. And therefore, Singaporeans all have possessions. Is that not true? Even our young children have possessions. And I know of some parents who are pretty well off. They have even started bank accounts for their children. The moment their children are born or old enough, for whatever reason, they have started some kind of saving plans for their children. Is that not true? And so our children, they own possessions that they are not even aware of until they are older, and then the parents will give them their bank book, and then open it. Wow, so nice. Possessions. One question. Who possesses who? Do you own your things? Or do your things own you? You know, there's this thing that they allow you to buy things on hire purchase. Interest-free, right? You buy a refrigerator, you buy a camera, you buy some things for a paltry sum. They say that you can choose to pay it up within 1 year or 2 years with this particular credit card, and there is no interest. And so most of us, if not all of us, would jump at the idea, isn't it? It's a good idea. Instead of taking my whole amount out from the bank, I can still earn a little bit of interest, interest-free. Why not? And better still, if the Lord comes halfway, oh, I can enjoy, isn't it? And so we calculate, and then we think that it's not a bad idea, it's a good idea. And then every month we service the loan. Is the loan our master then, since we serve it? Right? Because service the loan, right? So is the loan, the amount, now becomes my master? Because we keep serving it. So the one that you serve becomes your master, isn't it? And so we have a few masters. Your refrigerator, master number one. Your car, master number two. And of course, the biggest master will be your house. Because that's the biggest loan, right? Isn't it? Even if we have the funds, we have the money, we still want to just serve the loan. And so you realize that the question is, who owns our possession? Do we really own our possessions, or do our possessions own us? Because of all these so-called loans that we have in our lives, we have to serve them. That means I've got to work very hard in my workplace. And then I can't afford to lose my job, because if I lose my job, half my home will be taken away from me. My children, myself, all of us live on credit card. We live on loans. And so we become very fearful. And the Lord Jesus says, when you become a Christian, I want you to look at your possessions with new eyes. Everything about your life has been transformed. You used to despise the Word of God. You thought the Bible was just another historical book written by man. Now that you become a Christian, the Bible is now to you the very Word of God. Now you know the truth. Now you realize and understand. And so you have a delight and a joy and a thrill when you read God's Word, when you study God's Word, which you never had before. That's a transformation between you, the Christian, and God's Word, chapter 5. And then chapter 6, your relationship with God has now also been changed, because your relationship with God is no longer one of an enemy. Now you are related to Him because of Christ as a child. And that means your tithe and your offering will be accepted by God when you give them. Your hands are now clean. Your prayer life has now been established. In the past, you're an enemy of God. God won't hear you at all unless it is a prayer of salvation. Other than that, you can pray all you want. God says, I can't hear you. You're my enemy. And then God says, when you pray as my child, when you face certain difficulties and adversities in life, you may not feel like eating because you want to spend a longer, uninterrupted time with God, you fast. And then now God says, next in line for you to consider your possession. Verse 19 to verse 24, actually verse 19 to verse 23, talks about the possessions that you already have. Verse 25 to 34 talks about the possessions that you hope to have. It's in the future, right? That's what the Bible says. If you seek, right? Seek after them means you don't have it, but you long to have them. So, verse 25 to 34 talks about the possessions that you hope to have. What should I do? Verse 19 to 23, the possessions that you already have. God says, this is what I want you to do. And then sandwich in between, verse 24. Verse 24 is the link that joins the two together. What you already have, what you hope to have. And this is basically a description of all of us, isn't it? When you start going to work, what possessions do you have as a graduating student? Your books, your pen, your pencil, maybe a bank account. That's it, you know. I think you're quite poor, right? Right? I mean, you don't have anything, right? When you graduate, I mean, your bed is not yours, the pillow is not yours, the bed sheet is not yours, everything is not. Maybe the clothes, okay? The clothes that's in your closet. That's about it. And so these are the possessions that you have. And then when you start to work, verse 25 applies. The possessions that you hope to have. And so you go out to work, and so you go for interview, you hope to have your first pay, you hope to have this, and then later on you hope to have enough to buy a house, to put a down payment, and you hope to find a wife, you hope to have a family, you hope. And this is all the future, right? And so sandwich in between, God says, verse 24. Okay? So what you already have, let verse 24 applies. What you hope to have before you have them, let verse 24 applies. Alright, that's how you must look at verse 24. Alright, so ask yourself one simple question. Because this afternoon we're going to focus on the possessions that you already have, not what you don't have. What you don't have, God willing, next time. So this afternoon we're going to focus on what you already have. Don't talk about what you plan to have. Your beautiful wife, your three beautiful children, your dog, your big bungalow with a swimming pool. Not yet. What you already have, alright, let's deal with them. So the first thing we have to bear in mind dealing with the possessions that we already own, we already have, from a student point of view as well as from an adult point of view, it all applies because it's the principle. Verse 19 to verse 20, first thing to note is this. Finding your treasure, because our possessions, it is our treasure. True? If it's not something that is valuable to you, you won't possess it, you won't own it, you'll chuck it aside, you'll put it into the dustbin, you just don't care about it, right? First thing, your possession is something that you treasure. It's your treasure, isn't it? That's the meaning, that's the idea of a treasure. That's why you own it. It has some value to you. It could be a very old photo of yourself as a baby. I mean, it's an old photo, paper-wise, it's cheap. It's not worth much, but because it's a picture of yourself, your photo. If it's a picture of a photo of your dad who has passed away, the only picture that is left. I mean, in terms of dollars and cents, the value, that old piece of photograph, it's not worth much. But to you, it has a very, very priceless value. It's a picture of my dad. He gave it to me before the Lord took him home. So it is something that you possess, you put it close to your heart, you carry it with you everywhere you go, because it is treasure, it is expensive, it is something that valuable to you. Okay, so finding your treasure, that's the first thing. What is it do you consider in your possession as valuable, as a treasure? Ask yourself this question, based upon all that you have right now, your money, is it your treasure? You guard it very well. Your diamonds or jewels that you put in the home, in your safe. You bought this expensive safe. You seal it into the wall. You make sure that it has all the latest, the best combination. You make sure nobody knows it. You put it inside a safe. All your priceless treasures, right? Your house. You have all kinds of locks, all kinds of safety feature, gates, window bars. Why? Because inside the house, you have people who are very valuable to you, your loved ones. Everything inside the house, very, very expensive. You store them well, you keep them well. Correct? Things that are not so expensive, you leave them outside. Like your old slippers, your old shoes, all these, your old floor mat. You know, all these things that you've got outside, right? True or not true? You bought a brand new shoes, cost you $1,500. I don't think you'll put it outside. True or not true? True, thank you. You are right. You're going to keep it nicely. Now, after you have worn it for 10 years, outside or inside? Outside, that's correct. Outside. You are right. Why? Because it has lost its value. You're thinking now of another pair that is over there, $2,000. Now, you think very carefully. Do you really think that kind of treasure is real value? Because if it is really treasure, the value should not go up and down according to your heart's determination. If it is a treasure, the value should be intrinsic. The value should not devalue. It should not lose its value. You should hold on to it. It should not change with time. Isn't that true? All right. What about your wife? First time you met her, you marry her. Wow, so treasurable. Right? So valuable, right? 10 years later. Inside or outside? Now you laugh. Now you laugh. Why not outside? Why not like that? True. Even though sometimes in your own heart, outside, outside. Right or not, husband? Isaac? Inside, outside? Yeah, you are outside. You are outside. You are right. You are outside. You are outside. Outside, inside. What do you treasure? How do you find your treasure? That's it. How do you find your treasure? That's what Jesus says. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth. That means everything on earth will have this kind of a problem. You will lose its intrinsic value. That's why Jesus says, stop. Okay, the word lay not up means stop. Laying up, the word laying up is the same word as you find the word treasure. So literally it means this. Stop treasuring for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's what it means. Stop treasuring for yourselves treasures upon earth. That means when you were an unbeliever, you used to have a lot of treasure. Now that you have become a believer, Jesus says, stop it. Stop treasuring what you used to consider as valuable treasure to you. All these are upon earth, because when you were an unbeliever, that's all you could do. Everything that you own, everything that you see, can only be found on earth. You cannot store anything on earth that will be kept in heaven. Impossible, because you were an unbeliever. And on earth, moth, rust will corrupt. And that's true, especially in the time of Christ. Any garment, no matter how expensive, no matter how you want to keep it, even in the Mediterranean kind of a climate where the humidity is very low, it will still spoil, no matter what. And then it will also rust, especially where the Mediterranean Sea is. Anything that is made of iron, they don't have stainless steel, they don't have alloys such as aluminium and all the rest. Every metal that they used to have, it will tarnish, it will spoil, it will be corrupted. And then when those things that cannot be corrupted, like gold, like silver, like your precious stone, thieves can break through and steal. In other words, everything that you have on earth, even though the value may not decline, like gold and silver and precious stone, in the eyes of people, it can be stolen. Those that you first purchased, made of iron, your garments, they will lose their value in time because it will be ruined by moth and rust. And you know that. Many of the things we own belong to these two categories. That which cannot be corrupted can be stolen. And that's true, isn't it? Inflation itself will cause it to lose its value. You look at the currency that we have. It keeps on fluctuating. We are surrounded by the things on this earth that has no real, actual, intrinsic value. Let me ask you a quiz. Which family on earth is the richest family on earth? On earth, huh? Throughout history of mankind. Throughout the history of mankind. After the flood. That gives you the clue. It has to be Noah, isn't it? Right? I mean, he's the only family. He owns the whole earth. He would tell his son, you want to stay in the mountain? You see? You choose. You want to stay near the sea? Carry on. You want to stay in the plains? Choose. You choose all you want. There's nobody to fight with them. How much do you think the mountain costs? How much do you think the earth costs? Zero value, isn't it? How much did he pay? Kosong. You know, therefore, that the things have value because there are more than one person vying for it, bidding for it, looking for it, isn't it? If nobody else wants it except you, it's freer. Right? It's free. Everything is like that. Why do you think the house that you own, the value when you first bought it, $500,000? Now it is worth $5 million. What has happened? Is it really worth $500,000 or is it $5 million? Which one is it? Because now there are more people who want to pay for it, who want to buy your house. If nobody wants it, if there's a war, if it has been affected by radiation, straight away your house, $5 million, $5 or so, nobody wants. True? So if it's really valuable, it's really true treasure, then it cannot be stolen. It cannot be eaten up. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be destroyed. It is really valuable. But everything on this earth can be destroyed, can be stolen. That's why Jesus says, but I want you from now onwards to lay up for yourselves. You can't lay up for me, I can't lay up for you. You have to do it yourself. The husband got to lay up for himself, the wife got to lay up for herself, and every one of us got to lay up for yourselves, Jesus says, treasures in heaven. Now how do you lay up treasures in heaven while you're on earth? Only when you are a child of God, you can do that. If you're not a child of God, that is an impossibility. But because you are now a child of God, your relationship with me has changed. Your life on earth now has taken on a tremendous new dimension. And this dimension is so stupendous that while you are sojourning on this earth, you can treasure up treasures in heaven while you live on this earth. You just sit down and think and ponder over this truth that Jesus has just revealed to us. No one can do that except Christians. What you do right now can be treasure up in heaven. But treasure for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth, rust cannot corrupt, where thieves can never break through or steal. Now the question is, how to lay up treasures in heaven while we are on earth. It is easy to understand I can treasure up treasures on earth because I'm on earth and it remains on earth, right? You work, you get your paycheck, you go to the bank, you deposit it. A couple of days later, you check, the money is in there. How do you know the treasure is now in your bank? Because I went there, I did it. You are on earth, you didn't go to heaven. How do you deposit what you do on earth in heaven when you are still on earth? Ask yourself this simple question. What Jesus says. So Jesus is asking us to treasure up treasures on earth that will be stored up in heaven. Now, of course, Jesus will never ask us to do something that is impossible. So therefore, when he said this to us, it is not only possible, he says, I want you to do it. And this is how. Everything you do must be constrained by the love of Christ. That's the only way. Everything you do must be constrained by the love of Christ. You will see that in 1 Corinthians 3. First, you must be a Christian. That's number one. And then after that, Jesus tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That means if you have already laid your foundation upon which is Jesus Christ, that means Jesus Christ is your Lord and is your Savior, then you build on top of this foundation. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble remains to be seen and discovered in the future. Every man's work shall be made manifest, made plain and clear which category it belongs to, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, that is while you're on earth, he shall receive a reward. That means he will not be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble. It will be like gold, silver, precious stone. But the moment it is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he shall himself be saved, yet so as by fire, by the skin of your teeth. So what exactly is that building that will be classified under wood, hay, and stubble? And what is classified under gold, silver, precious stone? Constrained by the love of Christ. That is the secret. When you serve the Lord, motivated by your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for you, you will serve without murmuring. You will serve unconditionally. You will serve sacrificially. You do not look for the accolades of man. You do not seek man to pat you on the back. You just serve, and you just only want one person to be magnified in your life and in all that you do, and He is Jesus Christ. But the moment you serve, whether it is preaching from the pulpit, for personal glory, for filthy lucre, for whatever it is that is of this earth, it will be called wood, hay, and stubble. Prime example of wood, hay, and stubble life is none other than the nephew of Abraham, Lot. Was he saved? Yes. But what did he have at the end of his life? Zero. Everything burned by fire and brimstone. All his positions that he had as a leader in Sodom disappeared when Sodom was destroyed. If you are the governor of Sodom, only if Sodom exists, isn't it? But the moment Sodom was burned up by fire and brimstone, your governor, your title burns up with it. So if you are the president of Singapore, but if Singapore ceases to exist, your presidency disappears with it, isn't it? And that's what happened to Lot. And then when his wife turned around and turned to stone, he lost his wife. And then he lived up in the mountains, and his two daughters had an incestuous relationship with him, one after the other. He gave birth to two boys, and he named the two boys after a nightmare. Moab, who is my father? Ben-Ami, named it under son of my people. Your people, who are your people? The Sodomites. So Lot spent the remaining years on earth in misery. Every time he's called his two boys, he doesn't know whether they should address him as father or grandfather. Moab, who is my father? And then every time he called the other son, the second son, Ben-Ami, son of my people. Your people are burned up by fire and brimstone. You still want to remind yourself of that? So he will be reminded every time he called his second son, Sodom and Gomorrah. What a tragedy. Wood, hay, and stubble. He was called just Lot. That means he was a righteous person, vexed in his heart every morning when he woke up. That's how the Apostle Peter described him, as a warning to us. Just because you are born again does not mean that you cannot lose your life. What life do you mean we will lose? You have two lives now that you are a child of God. You have a spiritual life. That life nobody can take away. Satan knows that too. He knows he can't take away your spiritual life, because once you are born again, neither death nor life nor principalities, not even Satan, can separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus, Romans 8. He knows that. God knows that, and you and I know that. But that's our problem, isn't it? Some of us have this notion thinking that, well, I've got a place in heaven, I do what I want. You can't do what you want because you have the other life to consider, and that is your physical life that is on this earth, and your physical life is important and precious to you, because in this whole spectrum of eternity, you only have this very narrow band, maybe 20, 30 years of your life on earth where you can treasure up treasures in heaven. That's it. What you do on this earth, constrained by the love of Christ, for the sake of Christ. That means what Jesus says. If you give to someone, in my name, a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward. That means as you serve the Lord, constrained by His love, every time you serve, the Lord Jesus Christ will treasure for you in heaven. That's why when the Bible says, when a child of God dies, his works will follow him to heaven. That's how important your life is. And that's why you have to ask yourself this question: who owns your possession? You own your possessions, or the possessions own you? So first, finding your treasure. Discover it. Where is it? Is it still on earth? Then rest assured, your possessions own you. Is it in heaven? If it's in heaven, then you really own your possessions. That means everything that you have on this earth, you use it for the glory of God. You use your possessions. You open your home for people to use to meet for Bible study, for fellowship. You buy computers. You buy gadgets to help you better yourself in the study of God's Word, by all means. You buy all your iPad and your iPod, your gadgets, and you load it with all kinds of Bible study program, by all means. But if you load them up with all kinds of funny games and all you do is to play those games and you get addicted, every day you do your quiet time spending maybe a couple of hours in front of your God called the computer games, right? 2 hours of quiet time, isn't it? Your mom call you, come dinner time, okay. Come dinner time, okay. But you never move. So it's quiet time, right? Isn't it? You tell your mom, quiet time. With whom? My computer, my game. Quiet time. And then you carry with you everywhere you go, right? So your computer now is omnipresent. Everywhere you go, isn't it? Yeah, right? If you leave your handphone behind, it's as if one arm, one leg is missing. True? Because the moment you're born into this world as a child, your mom and dad already introduce you, this is your God. True or not? Mom, dad, you bought it for them, right? And now they can't do without it. You try not taking it away from your son. Now. You try. You don't believe. You see what happens? You see what happens? To him, they will apply what Jesus says. It is better for me to lose my right eye and my right hand than to lose my handphone. See, you don't believe. You try. You just try. Okay, son, this whole week, right, Monday to Friday, no handphone. You come home exactly on time. You don't go anywhere. You just come home Monday to Friday. No handphone. You try, don't believe me. Cold turkey treatment. Cannot. Can. Don't believe you try. You try yourself, for yourself, the same thing. For yourself. Finding your treasure. You ask yourself that. Because it has to be personal. It has to be from your own heart. Nobody can do that for you because it's your life. That's what Jesus says. Lay up for yourselves. On both counts. Stop treasuring for yourselves, and then now you treasure for yourselves. On earth, in heaven. You do it. Your mom, your dad can't do it because it is your life. It's not their life. It is your life. You choose well. You find for yourself what treasure. Second thing to consider concerning our possessions. Verse 21 to 23. First, finding your treasure. Now, how do I determine what my treasure is? Now, determining your treasure. How do I determine what really is my treasure, right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart. That's the key. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So therefore, it is not what you own. It is not whether you live in an attap house or you live in a 10-room mansion with 20 bathrooms. It has nothing to do with your home address. Is nothing to do with how much you have. It is whether your heart is attached to what you have. You could have only $100 in your bank account, and if your heart is in that $100, as opposed to another person who may have $100 million in his bank account, but his heart is not in the $100 million, you are the one who is wrong. You are the one who has succumbed to the treasure that is on this earth, whereas this other Christian, who is a $100 million heir, he has not succumbed to the danger and the problem of treasuring treasures on earth, because the condition is the heart. And because it is the heart, only you and the Lord knows. You treasure for yourselves treasures on earth or in heaven. How do I know? Your heart. Be honest with your own soul, with your own heart. Because if you don't, and you keep on heading in the direction that is of verse 19, where you keep on treasuring up treasures on earth, every minute that you do that is a minute that disappears for eternity. Remember, it is limited. You only have a limited time on this earth. And very soon, it's all over. And you have, and I do not know how much you have to serve the Lord on this earth. Only the Lord knows. It can happen anytime. 2 days ago, one of our church members passed away. So last night, I conducted the vigil service. He was from the Mandarin congregation. He was with us just recently in the June camp, healthy. And since he was born again in 1998, he was baptized. He had been attending worship service regularly. He attended Bible study, Sunday school regularly. And very soon he also served the Lord through visitation. He would go and visit people. And he also would help out in as a steward, as an usher, to collect offerings and so on. He served the Lord in whatever he could. He was 80 years old. Yeah, 80 years old. And then I receive a phone call that so-and-so has gone home to be the Lord. I could not picture the face when the name was told to me. But when I arrived last night, I saw the photograph. I shook his hand only 3 Sundays ago. Shook his hand. After the service, I recognized him. Sunday after Sunday, I will see him. And now, he's gone. His time was up. It is better to be in the house of mourning than the house of feasting, Jesus taught us. Because in the house of mourning, every man will lay it to his heart that he has an end. He has a termination. Young people, don't think that you have a whole life ahead of you. You do not believe me, you just go to Choa Chu Kang Cemetery, you're going to find people of all ages buried in Choa Chu Kang Cemetery. And there is one corner where they reserve it only for babies. The youngest person I buried was 6 months old. It was a very small gathering. Father, mother, it was their first child. 6 months old, died. Uncle, auntie, or maybe grandpa, grandma, and that's it. Only 4 people. The father walked down the aisles, I still remember, carrying a tiny little white coffin. Then a service was conducted. The father came forward, carried the baby, put into the car, drove to the Choa Chu Kang Cemetery. And then there was a little hole there, about 1.5 feet or 2 feet maximum. And then the father would carry the coffin, step into it, lay down, and then cover. That's a life. 6 months, gone. If you do not take heart and listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, stop treasuring up for yourself treasures on earth. How do you know what my treasure is? Where your heart is. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be as well. The light of the body is the eye. So how do you know whether your heart is in the right place? Look at your eyes. Not any other part of your features, your eyes. That's what Jesus says. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, that means focused only on the right thing, your whole body will be full of light. Single means what? only Jesus. You only look at Jesus. You don't look at Jesus and the world. You cannot look back and forth. Focus on Christ. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Because all you have is just that you pretend to be a Christian. You are not really a Christian. Because this is only for Christians. You have the light inside you. You have Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus says in Matthew 5, you are supposed to be the light of the world, you are supposed to be the salt of the world. You have the light. You can see. The world is the same. The world has not changed. But now you look at the world and the world is so different. Why? Because you have changed. The world is just as ugly, just as wicked, just as sinful, just as immoral, if not worse. You have changed inside. And because you have changed inside, it's like a person who has changed into new glasses. You look at the world now with different eyes, with the eyes of Christ. The more you study the Bible, the more focused will be your pair of glasses, your spiritual glasses. And then you're going to see the world exactly the same way that God wants you to see and how the Lord Jesus Christ saw the world when He was on earth. He came to earth to do one thing, to do the Father's will. You and I are saved to remain on this earth also the same, to do the Father's will. That's all. Otherwise, God would have saved us and taken us home. God allow you and me to remain on earth to do one thing, to do the Father's will. That means to impact people for Christ. Where your eye sees, what your eyes focus on. So when you wake up in the morning, what does your eye see? It will reveal a lot about your heart. That's the power of the eyes. You know, when you want to buy something, and you're not sure whether to buy or not to buy, you can tell whether the person will finally buy it or not. If every time he walks past this shop, he will stop, stare, you know he will surely buy. Every time, walk, stop, stare. And then the next step is walk, stop, feel, touch. The camera, whatever it is, the camera, the gadget, right? You just watch, stop, stare, touch. And then very soon, ask. How much? Put back, walk away. Come back again. Same thing, walk back. It's only a matter of time, sir, because the more you look at it, the more you look at it, the more you look at it, the stronger will be the attraction, and then before you know it, the heart is ready. Gone there already. True? If you're really not going to buy it, you just walk, stop, carry on, and never to walk back again. Never to stop again. Is that not true? That's why your eyes. What attracts your eye? You ask yourself that question. What attracts your eye? What is it that your eye sees that you will consider as treasure, as valuable? You just watch. Cars, houses, addresses, properties, things, luxury things. These things, if you keep on staring at them, if you keep on seeing these things, that's why window shopping is dangerous. It's dangerous because that is one step before you get sucked into this black hole. And once your heart gets attracted to it, if you don't get out immediately, as soon as possible, it's going to get deeper and deeper into your heart, and the hold on you will be stronger and stronger with every passing day. The Bible said about Lot, the angels came and told him, by the end of this night, when sun rises, when the dawn breaks, fire and brimstone will destroy. He himself carried this message to his sons-in-law, and the sons-in-law laughed at him and drove him out of the house because he has lost his moral right to tell the truth, to share the gospel. And then when he went back home, the sun was about to rise, and the angel told him, hurry up, get up, hurry up. What was Lot's reaction? He deliberately procrastinated. He lingered, the Bible said. Why did he do that? Because his whole heart and his whole life was sunk into the city. Everything that he owned on this earth was in the city. And he lingered. The angels literally had to grab hold of his hand, grab hold of the hand of his wife, the other angel grab hold of the hands of his two daughters, and the Bible described it as literally dragged them out of the city.
the pull and the hold of the things in Sodom, the bright lights, the money, the worth of the building, the property, the prestige, everything else had captured and held on to him, that a few seconds before the fire and brimstone destroyed everything, Lot understood it in his head, but his heart just simply would not and could not let go. That's how dangerous the world is out there. And that's why God tells us, think of all the possessions that you have right now. What you used to attract, what used to attract your eyes, let it now be changed to Christ. Let it now be changed to spiritual things. Let prayer meetings, let reading God's word, all these things, let it now be the focus of your eyes. No longer the movies. No longer the places of the past. No longer worldly activities, worldly places. No longer any of these things that will jeopardize your walk with the Lord. Let your eyes be focused only on Christ, godly things, spiritual things, as what the Bible tells us to do, isn't it? In Philippians 4, does the Bible not tell us? What are the things that we're supposed to think upon? Things that are what? All things that are true. Things that are right. Things that are just. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely. Things that are of good report. And if there be any praise in them, any virtue, you keep on counting them, logging them into your mind. Think upon them. Ponder upon them. You don't find any of these things on the earth. These things are all spiritual. Found in scriptures, found among the saints. What does your eye see? That will reveal and determine where your real treasure is. Because what your heart is attracted to, your eyes will see. So how do you tell? What your eye sees will tell you what kind of heart you have. And then God says, Jesus says, finally in verse 24, concerning our possessions, first, find out your true treasure. How to determine my true treasure? Your eyes. And then lastly, who do you serve? Because that which is to you treasure will be that which you will serve. So serving your treasure. Not your car, not your all these service. Okay, please, not these. The Lord Jesus Christ. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot love both. No one has the power to serve God and mammon. No one. And the word the other means Christ or God and mammon, they are at odds. You cannot love God and at the same time love the world. God says, no one has the power to do that. Because I am a jealous God. I will not allow you. You cannot do that. You think your wife would allow you to love her and to love another woman? Even this kind of human relationship, you know that you cannot do that. That is despicable, that is immoral, and that is adultery. What makes you and I think that in the spiritual realm, that is a lower standard? Who do you think God is? You think you can just believe in God, worship God, and then love Him, and then at the same time love the world, and you think God, never mind God, it's okay, right God? You don't want that in your human relationship between you and your spouse. Right? Wife, you mind if a husband bring another woman into the house and said, I love both of you just the same? You mind? Of course you mind. You must be out of your mind not to care. In the spiritual realm, far more significance. God says, it is impossible. No man can be a slave to two masters. In the time of Christ, if you are a slave to Master A, you obey everything that Master A says. Whatever, whoever Master B is, he is not your master, you are not his slave, you don't listen to any instruction from him. You only listen to one master, because you are only a slave to one master. You cannot be a slave to two masters. Impossible. Only one. Likewise in the spiritual realm, either you hate the one or you love the other. The other is another of a different kind.
That means God and mammon, they are totally different. They are not the same kind. You will hold on to the one, and then you will despise the other. Throw it away. Despise things that you hate, you won't keep. You ask yourself this. Who owns your possessions? You own them, or your possessions own you? You can determine it by your heart, by your eyes, by who you obey more. God, or that thing, or that person on earth. That's how you determine. And God says, it's impossible for you to serve me, to be my slave. No one can do that and be the slave of mammon. Impossible. So have you truly given your heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you truly accepted Him as your Lord and as your Savior? And if you have, then He is your Lord and He is your Master. Nobody else. And therefore this notion of, oh, I have a place in heaven now, all secure. Now I can live on this earth and do what I want. That is a lie, a deception of the evil one. And don't you ever accept Christ because the pastor tells you, you believe in Jesus Christ, you will always be rich, you will never be poor. It's like telling us, you can have God and mammon as your master at the same time. Jesus says, it's not possible, isn't it? It's impossible. That's why that kind of gospel is a false gospel. Because Jesus says, no man can serve God and mammon. No man. No one has the power to do both. But there are pastors who are preaching that you can do both. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be filthy rich. And he is talking about materially while you are on this earth. And that is a lie. Jesus told us, do not treasure up treasures on earth. And now he says, treasure up treasures on earth. Jesus says, don't. Don't. The Christian and his possessions. The possessions that you own right now is still the same. Because now that you are a Christian, you have changed. Own your possessions. Don't let the possessions own you. They used to in the past. Not anymore. So if you lose your possession, you have lost nothing. Because you already have Christ. And because Christ is everything. And if Christ is everything to me, everything else is nothing. Including your children, including your job, including your ambition, including your life. Please understand this. That's what it means by loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. That's what it means. You don't mix it. Not even 99%. It has to be 100%. All your heart, soul, strength, mind. Everything. That's the only way to love Him. No other way. It's for our good. Understand this. Because the moment you don't, that thing which you love more than Christ will become your idol. And you will be ruined by it. It will destroy you. It will rob you of your life on this earth, your precious life. And you will end up like Lot, with nothing. Saved by the skin of his teeth. God doesn't want any one of us to end up like Lot. He wants us to be a man after God's own heart. He wants us to be like Abraham, a friend of God. That God says, I know him. I reveal things to him. That's what God wants of all of us. Treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven by serving the Lord, constrained by the love of Christ. Let your eyes be only focused on that and don't be sidetracked. Don't lose it. As you grow older, you will change. But don't lose your focus, because how great will be that darkness if you lose that focus. And remember, Christ is your master. Nobody else. So you listen to his voice, you obey him at all costs. Don't hear the voices of the world, no matter how seductive, no matter how logical and how reasonable they are, even though you may be the only one against 5-6 billion people, you hold on to Christ. Because he is your master. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, teach us, O Lord, what it means to own our possessions as Christians and not to be possessed by our possessions. We thank the Father for salvation so rich and so free, and for the indwelling of the Spirit of God that enable us to have the strength and the power to do that which is right and well-pleasing in your sight. For you have given to us instructions in Holy Scriptures that you have already equipped your children to fulfill them, to carry them out in our lives. We pray, Father, you will help us to make sure that we only treasure up treasure that will be in heaven by having heart and eyes that are focused only on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. May this be our heart's cry and our heart's devotion until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Sanctify thy people by thy truth, for thy word is truth. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.